Oh, my schedule was thrown off just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I have run out of AeroPress filters.
Oh, those little paper thingies, right?
The little circular paper discs makes you wonder if you can't make them yourself at home. That's okay. I can make this. All just, you know, perfect cut circles.
Oh, no.
Isn't it like a particular type of paper as well? I mean, you can't just get like some A4 print paper out your printer. It's not going to...
No. Filter paper is ever so slightly different.
Yeah. And there's so many different types as well. You know, you have bleached, unbleached, brown ones, metal ones, if you want a bit of... you can go a little too far with these things, but hey, that's what we're here to talk about today. Hi, welcome to Indulgently Minimal. I am Moggy, and I am joined today by Jeff...
Hey up, guys.
And Murdoch.
Hello, everyone.
And this week, instead of retreading old ground and talking simply about coffee, because we do have an episode like that, what we're instead here to talk about today is the concept of rituals and how they can actually help us in our day-to-day life. And by ritual, what we do mean is a mindful habit. Something that you do habitually every day, perhaps, but you have like a real sense of flow. So rather than, you know, men in robes or silly hats, perhaps, with candles, think more grinding the beans. I don't know, like...
Yeah, it's one, I just want to point out that we're not going over old ground, which is coffee.
Old grounds.
Old grounds, yeah. I apologize for nothing. But it's not the getting around with candles, you know, the ha ha. It's weighing out your beans 15 grams. It's putting it in the coffee grinder setting 10. It's putting it in your V60 and you're getting your water to the perfect temperature depending on what kind of coffee it is. And, you know, you're pouring it in certain weight intervals and time intervals.
Oh,
and
that little swirling motion.
The swirling motion, you got to bloom it and all these little things that you have to be. You can't be distracted when you're doing it. You have to be focused fully on what you're doing. It's like this little ritual of things are done in their place at their time for a purpose. And it kind of puts you in this flow. And then you end up with a cup of coffee and it's like, what did I do wrong? Why do I have to make this again? Come on!
You have to have a coffee diary so you know, today I use 15 grams and setting 10. Water a little warm.
It really is.
On the plus side, I do have a little cup of coffee. I managed to get one of them conical paper filter things, Ooh. So I have an alternate ritual.
Oh.
Takes a little bit longer, but does the job.
I mean, also, if you want to do this coffee whilst wearing a robe and a hat, by all means, go ahead. I mean, if it makes
science.
It more fun for you. Exactly. I think, I can't remember if we mentioned it before, but that story that one of my cousins told me about the dude that went on the tube dressed as a wizard and he'd put his Oyster card chip in the tip of like a wizard wand and he was waving his wand at the barriers to open them up.
I mean, if you want to live your life like that, then bravo to you, sir.
It's like that is truly enjoying life.
Yeah.
Well, also isn't the scientific method a form of ritual as well? Like basically, you will sit down, you have to perform these steps exactly, otherwise the spell won't work.
Oh, we're getting dangerously close to the fact that the early scientists/chemists were alchemists and accidentally discovering real science while attempting to turn piles of manure into gold.
Why do you think it's called chemistry?
Alchemistry.
Oh. Alchemistry.
I never knew.
Oh, you lie.
So the reason that we want to talk about them is that these rituals can become really important so-called marker points in your day. They're a way that you can ground yourself as life can get a little ahead of you or a lot ahead of you sometimes. I know that my coffee ritual has changed a lot over the years. I've gone from... instant coffee to pod coffee to extreme V60 style coffee, then back to pod coffee. Like it can change, but ultimately the ritual's always there as a way to signify to myself and my body we're getting up, we're getting ready to start the day. We are sort of, we're creating a little doorway that we can step through to begin our day.
Yeah. They're like these little events, these markers in time that can denote, you know, transitions through, you know, I'm no longer asleep, I'm awake, but I'm not at work yet. it's like a nice breezy transition between the two, rather than getting up screaming all the way to work and then making a cup of coffee at work, which is what some of us do, is what I do.
That's what I do these days too. That coffee is something very important, free.
It's something we have to do sometimes, basically, when the circumstances require it. But otherwise, given enough of a time frame, you have enough time to sit down and make yourself a cup of coffee as a way to reclaim some time to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about nothing. Don't think about the horrors awaiting you during the daytime. And just focus on this one cup of coffee until you've had your first sip. And then you may begin.
Yeah, it's like sort of, it's isolating a pocket of time just for what you're doing. Then it's just for you. It's not about the rest of the day. It's not about what happened in the previous day. It's just you and the coffee. Or whatever it is that your little ritual in the morning is, it just kind of like, it's a pocket of time just for you.
Yeah, I think it's a good time to mention that this isn't an episode about coffee, and coffee is just a very good example of this, but it is by far not the only example of it. I think coffee works really well to explain the concept because it has everything. It has a process that has to be followed generally the same, or at least a very similar way every time. It works for all the senses. You have sight, you have smell, you engage your mind, you engage your body. And at the end of it, you have quite literally a magic elixir, a potion of awakening that tastes delicious, smells delicious, and helps get you going in the morning. And I think to understand just how important these rituals are, it may be worthwhile remembering the times that these rituals go wrong and how that can impact your day.
It really messes up your flow when you do things in a certain order in the morning. There's a reason they say, you know, starting the day on the right foot. It's when you start the day kind of out of step, it just ruins the rest of your day because you're starting off awkward and stressed and not in the right frame of mind. When your coffee making in the morning goes wrong, you know, you forget to do one thing or put one thing in at the wrong time, or you do things in the wrong order.
Forgetting to tip out the hot water you've used to warm your cup or making thing can just ruin your whole day in a very special way.
You don't like super watered down super, super, super watered down coffee.
Super papery watered down coffee, because it was also the water I used to rinse the filter with.
I mean, it's, you know, like I've done it before where I don't have a teapot at home. I have a thermos with an inset tea strainer, so I make my tea in that. And I've done it numerous times where I just pour the loose tea into the thermos. I'm thinking, and then I look at myself, and then I look at the tea in the thermos and think, Jeff, you absolute spoon. Now you're going to have to go get a spoon to get the tea out.
Another good example can be if you're of a certain personality type. I know my days always end up feeling a little awkward when I get to work and someone else has parked in the spot that I usually park in. It's not like we have allocated parking. It's not like it's my spot. But my brain kind of just goes, but this is where we park. It was like, what do we do now? Well, we find new parking. I don't want to find new parking. And
it's like these little these rituals, these things that we do, whilst they require us to be mindful and present when we're doing them, one of the benefits also is because we know the patterns to follow, because we know the rules we're supposed to follow in these little things, it takes the stress out of it. So when those are interrupted, it forces us to we have to expend energy that we otherwise might not have to. And it kind of just upsets it because we might want to expend that energy in socializing or problem solving or doing your job, but instead you've had to spend one of those spoons of energy on finding a new parking spot or redoing your coffee.
Finally, I want to take a moment to point out that not every time you make coffee is necessarily what we're classing as a ritual here. So I think it runs a spectrum. And if you're the sort of person that just orders a cup of coffee in the morning from an app or something, and then a gentleman on a motorcycle delivers it to you, that might not be what we're talking about. Because you're not engaging in this process and you're not allowing yourself that time to, as I said, rituals are almost meditation adjacent in this regard. So ironically, making a cup of instant coffee is closer to what we're talking about than ordering an artisanal cup of third wave coffee from that boutique down the road.
Now, the person that made that third wave artisanal boutique coffee probably also went through a ritual for it. And that is okay. It doesn't have to be this, you know, this meditative performative ritual every single time you do something. That's not the point. If, you know, going and just ordering a cup of coffee is perfectly fine.
If what you want is just the cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
For example, if in the middle of your workday you need 5 or 10 minutes to yourself just to catch your breath, just to step away from the screen, step away from the problems and issues and whatever you are dealing with. And some people like to go and have a chat. Some people very much like to just go over to the little coffee making station and for 5 minutes just be on their own with a boiling kettle and their, I like to call instant coffee like soup, gravy coffee. You know,
it's coffee gravy.
Yeah. Sometimes just that time to be by yourself, not staring at a screen, not scrolling on your phone, and just waiting for the kettle to boil, coffee gravy, water, spoon, maybe a little milk, sugar, if that's your jam, and then back to it. It's 5 minutes, like we said, for yourself.
And well, fun fact for anybody drinking instant coffee, mix it with cold water first, then the hot water. It makes it taste 10 times better.
Or the milk. Mm. You can make like a little paste with the sugar and the milk, which will be cold, and then slowly add, not boiling water, but off the boil water. Yeah, you can scald the coffee. That's the thing. Yeah. Well, fun fact, indeed.
My problem at work is we don't have a kettle. We have an instant, we have just like an instant hot water heater. So you just push the button and hot water comes out. So there's no time to wait for the kettle.
Well, maybe you can just stare emptily at the boiler loading.
Jeff? Is Jeff okay? He's been staring at that boiler for quite some time.
Ding.
Oh, he does that.
Ritual complete.
Mind has recharged.
Well, that's it. There we go. That's why we do it. Maybe your ritual might be more like, okay, at lunch, I step out of the office and I do yoga. It's taking that time for yourself, but it's not just about tucking your way in a corner with a book or something or listening to music. The ritual, it's something that I guess forces mindfulness in a way. It's something that's engaging all the different parts of your body so you can be present and grounded in that exact moment of time, experiencing it.
It's allowing your brain to focus on, whilst it may be a set of different tasks, it's all about one goal. You're focused on one thing, one goal, and focused on the steps to get there for a brief period of time. And it's allowing the brain a break from the swirling information. I have to do this, then I have to do this, but then I've got to do this in 15 minutes, and I've got a meeting at 12 o'clock. But it just stops, and you can just focus on one thing. That is really, really important to do it. I mean, it is great. It's important to do it in the morning. It's important to do it in the middle of the day. You can't do it all the time, although it would be wonderful if we could.
Imagine living your life like that.
I mean, that's...
Some people do.
I think they're called monks.
What, the guys who do just the punching thing and they're a little tricky to play and are we talking about D&D? Nah. No?
No, I was talking about the American proto-punk band from
Germany.
In 1960s in Germany, made of American GIs.
Ah, deep cut.
Wait, we're talking about the people who just go through rituals the entire time, or we're talking about people who have zero pre-planning, zero patterns prediction?
No, like when
just,
you...
We do it live.
We're going to do it live.
I mean, and this, I think that's a good actually point to say, because what I've been wanting to also get around to is that drinking the coffee can still be a continuation of the ritual. Some people will just, like myself, once the coffee is down at the desk, I kind of just start working and then the coffee is just there. Other people, and this is where that person who ordered the coffee may be their ritual. Maybe they open up the top and smell it and they just take a moment with their beverage. There are like many personality types and some people do just kind of charge through life and that works for them. Other people need these little pockets of time and other people, in fact, need almost like a regimented way to sort of pull them through the day. It really is about, as we say so many times here, finding out what works for you. I think that leads us on to kind of why we wanted to talk about it, because as much as I love to ramble about coffee and I could just have a podcast about coffee, the reason we're doing this is because these rituals, this mindful practice, I would say it's a mindful habit, really, are often very important lifelines for us when things get tricky.
Yeah, like when you're feeling like overwhelmed or precarious.
Oh, precarious, that's a good word here.
When things are uncertain to whatever degree, it could be minor to major, these little, like these little rituals, these things that you know how to do, these things that you do every day, these things that you have to focus on, they kind of just help restore some normalcy, restore some control. They can calm you down. They're really, really vital.
They kind of bring you back, like we said up top, grounding you, which by that we mean that they bring you back into the here and the now. So while your mind can, I mentioned precarious because I think a lot of people feel that way a lot of the time, especially now, where they feel out of control, whether it's due to current events, whether it's due to their personal life, whether it's due to the fact that life itself sometimes just can have a habit of getting away from you. Anything that grounds you kind of brings you back to this realization that, oh, I am here right now. Ultimately, I am just a monkey that got a little full of myself. I can do this. I've been doing this. Okay. I know you pull up your sleeves or something and you carry on.
Good God. Could you imagine a monkey on coffee?
No. I'm also thinking of like the scopes of some of these rituals, basically, like, you know, to start your working day, as it were. It may not be the first sip of coffee. It may be setting up shop at your desk. You take this time to yourself. This is for you to get started on the day. It's the signal to other people that don't approach me just yet. I have a couple of things to do.
Yeah, I mean, we make the joke, don't we? Like, oh, don't talk to me until I've had my coffee. And it was, oh, yes. Sometimes for some people, that really is a very important way of kind of creating a little circle around certain points in their day. Because I know when I've been in certain jobs and things have gotten away from everybody and everyone's a bit stressed, sometimes you can literally walk through the door and suddenly somebody's running at you like, oh, thank God you're here. We need to do this. Like, no. Let me have my coffee. I just need 5 minutes. I'm going to do my little ritual. Look, I'm drawing a magic circle. You, demon, you cannot pass.
This is a fourth level evocation spell. Be gone, demon.
But that's kind of what it is. Just like, look, I know we're busy. I know things are important, but nothing is so important that I can't take 5 minutes to just ground myself, align myself so that I can, you know, point myself in the direction I need to go for the rest of the day. Don't just come and start badgering me when I haven't even had my coffee. Yeah.
It's like, I can't do anything. My computer isn't on. I mean, for me, I'm very, very fortunate that there is something wrong with my work computer. And
and I can work.
The hard drive spins at 100% for about 15 minutes from startup and nothing. It's just like the slowest machine in the world. So I was like, I can't do anything. I've got to wait for the computer to do its morning ritual. So, you know.
I'd say this is something you might want to talk to IT about, but I see that you're making it work for yourself.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Everything's working fine.
What can I do? The computer's not ready yet. Go make another cup of coffee.
Please show me out the door. I just realized why we're using grounding and ground coffee.
Welcome to the beginning of the episode.
Well, the coffee's just started to kick in. Well, I think in addition to that, it's, you know, to signify, okay, the chaos can begin. Like another ritual we look forward to, maybe subconsciously, maybe consciously, is just closing shop. You're dealing with all your tasks during the day, and you think this is never going to end. But at 4 or 5, or whenever it is, you end the working day. I can close shop.
Yeah.
I will start my closing shop ritual.
It is a wonderful feeling just closing down all the programs. And then closing down your computer, whipping your coat off the back of your chair like a cape, and then just storming out of the door going, I shall see you gentlemen tomorrow.
On the morrow, fellows, yes.
That's a signal for you that I am done with this for now. And it's a signal to other people that, oh, he's done with this for now.
it's great. And then you have to come back 5 minutes later because you realize you forgot your pass to get out the door. And then he's like, and everybody goes, huh, good morning. He's like, very funny. It's less dramatic when you storm out the second time, you know?
Slink out, I think, is what you do the second
yeah, slink
time.
Out, slink out, yeah.
Whoopsie daisy. Forgot the car keys.
Well, this is why I think the symbology, the image of ritual works very well for what we're talking about here, because whether it's setting up at the beginning of the day with your alchemical supplies, I may have to get myself a wizard hat for when I do make my coffee just to feel a little more special.
But stand back, I'm about to commit science.
Or whether it's in the middle of the day when, as Murdoch said, like you've got this storm of chaos swirling around you and, you know, you perform a little Learman's tiny hut ritual to create just a safe space for 5 minutes of peace and quiet before you throw yourself back into the maelstrom. Another D&D
all these
reference.
Spells are D&D, yes, these are all D&D spells, by the way.
I love that yeah. spell. It just breaks so many DM's plans for you. What? Oh, 8 hours of perfectly safe space that can't be broken except by high-level magic? Well, you see them leafing through pages and pages, just throwing things away like, yes, I did ruin your day, thank you.
It's just like the image of all these monsters sat around, you know, sort of with their arms folded, looking at their watches, going, ah, in their little hut again, you know, what are you doing in there? We're making soup.
It says in the description, it maintains a comfortable temperature. We're just chilling in here.
So what are you guys doing for Christmas?
Well, that's it. You've created this safe place. And, you know, if that's just you making your coffee or going and chatting about the football with that other coworker that has that special interest that you share, these are just moments in time that are very important to kind of step away from, as you say, the maelstrom of chaos and help you get through the day. Or, like Murdoch quite rightly said, at the end of the day, what all of these things are doing is they're creating what I like to think of as doorways, where you're passing through to signify to yourself, your brain, your mind, whatever, that I have passed into work mode. I am passing into middle of the day mode. I am done. Work is put away. I am going to try and stop worrying about this. Like these, CGP Grey mentioned this in his pandemic video on Spaceship Hugh, trying to give some advice to people that were working from home for the first time on how they could stop all the different parts of their life from interfering with each other, especially now for many of us where even if we no longer work from home, all of the progress we made on remote apps and everything else means that our work can follow us to a much greater degree than ever before. And it can be tempting to sort of go, well, I'll just clear a few emails. I've got nothing better to do.
There's that idea that you can get ahead of it. Oh, well, I can jumpstart on the work tomorrow, so it'll be easier tomorrow. And what you find is that you're actually never not. You're never not at work. You're never relaxing. Your mind's always in two places at once, mm-hmm. which ultimately will lead to burnout eventually. Your brain can't do that for long periods of time. Some people are good at focusing on many things at once, but ultimately we're best when we're allowed to focus on one place and one thing at a time.
It's like little focus modes for our brain.
Yeah. Oh, just complete side tangent. Something that very fun happened yesterday. I went to go watch Dune 2. Yes, obviously I was going to talk about that somehow in this episode.
Well done.
But no spoilers, including people on the podcast.
I'm not going to talk about the movie. All I'm going to say is my phone recognized that I'd booked cinema tickets and automatically put my phone into like do not disturb mode.
Well, that's amazing.
Which was super cool. And again, because that's another little ritual when you go to the cinema. You go to the thing, you get your drink, you get your popcorn, you put your phone into flight mode or into silence mode, and then you sit there and do nothing but watch the movie. It's like you're focused on one... See, I brought it around. You focus on one specific thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfect sort of like breaking point as well. You want to focus on the movie. The last thing you want is somebody's phone going off in the corner.
Or your own
phone.
I am
your diddle-da, diddle-da, diddle-da.
No!
that's pretty much it. It's important to note what happens when some of these rituals break.
Hmm.
it's important to be able to deal with them when they break. Because sometimes, you know, oh, I didn't get my morning coffee, or like I ran out of paper filters, can throw off your schedule by just a bit.
Throw off your whole day sometimes. Like even if you go, okay, I'll just grab a latte from that place on my drive to work. You've not done that thing, that little thing that makes your day okay. And then your day is no longer okay. That can happen.
You've started your day differently. You've started your day on the left foot instead of the right foot. And everything feels a little off because of it, because you haven't been grounded in that day yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to understand this because like there are other smaller maybe rituals that are good examples of how these things are important. Like cooking, for example, right?
Yeah, like the whole, you know, is it mise en place, mise en place, French.
Like French. Where you
French. My flawless accent. Yeah, you're like, you know, when you're preparing a meal or when you're setting out to prepare a meal, you gather all your ingredients first. You make sure that you've got everything you need. And then you set up your station ready to cook. You don't put the hob on or the oven on, or unless you're, you know, preheating the oven, but you make sure everything's in place. And then you chop all of your ingredients and put them into bowls so everything is ready exactly when you need it. And then there's an order with the cooking. You know, say if you're putting your onions in and then you put in some other vegetables and then you put in your garlic.
Garlic goes in last, guys.
Garlic goes in last, but it also depends on the type of garlic you're using, you know, whether it's crushed, minced, or, you know, microplaned. It's a whole hoo-ha.
But just in general, burnt garlic is a bitter substance, a little bit like used coffee grounds. Don't overcook your garlic.
Oh, my God. If I shake my phone, it automatically goes to undo.
Yeah.
I'm learning so many things today.
But, focus, Jeff, focus.
Focus mode. Because you've got everything in place and ready, you can just go through the steps. You know the steps you need to do to make this meal, and you don't have to worry about, oh, I need to chop this or I need to get this, because you've sorted it. Everything is in its place and everything can be done in the correct order, and you can just focus on what you're doing at that time. Is it incredibly stress-free?
Well, it's how you get to a good result. I think sometimes we like to think of things awkwardly, I like to say, and we should be thinking about what's the result. Don't think about the inputs. Check the result and then go, is this a result I wanted? No. Well, then now let's go look at the inputs and figure out what's going wrong. If you're always burning things, well, okay, how do we cook? Well, you're constantly chopping the next ingredient while simultaneously frying, while trying to read the recipe. You know, of course, you're letting everything get ahead of you, whereas a recipe is a little bit like a magical spell, right? You have to get all your ingredients and you have to do everything in the right order. And then at the end, you have a delicious fireball. Yeah. I don't know.
If you're using a hob or, you know, an open flame cooking on a stovetop, you need to make sure that the temperature is correct. And you can't just cook everything on high because it's going to ruin everything.
But high temperature mean cook quicker.
I mean, that's a genuine thing that's, you know, the logic is there but flawed.
Yeah.
But also, depending on what kind of frying pan you're using, you need to start off at a lower temperature and slowly raise the temperature, because otherwise you're going to ruin your pan. And there's all these little things that you learn over time, but slowly you fold them into the process, into this little ritual of cooking, and it makes everything so much better. And it allows you to focus on what you're doing instead of rushing ahead or thinking ahead, because you don't need to think ahead because it's already prepared.
And it opens bandwidth, so to speak, for when things start to go wrong. You know, if something is cooking a little too quickly, or there's a smell that you don't, oh, that's not quite right. You're not like, oh, I now need to stop doing whatever I was. No, everything is prepared. So you have space and time to react. I mean, another ritual that I do is when I change the strings on my guitar, I always hated doing it and I would leave it off for quite some time. And I used to read all sorts of magazines and things. And I read about a couple of guitarists who would do their changing of the strings a very specific way. I ended up folding it into my own little ritual where what I will tend to do is get the strings, get some cleaning materials, and then I'll completely de-string the guitar, clean everything, make sure everything's wiped down, add a little oil if that's what I'm doing that time. And then one by one, the strings go on and I'll run, you know, they come coiled, I'll uncoil them, I'll run them through my fingers a little, wash your hands first, don't handle guitars with oily hands.
You don't want greasy strings?
Well, I mean, that's how they rust. And then you sort of like, you know, you kind of pull the, I don't know why I'm doing the motion. This is an audio podcast, but you know, you pull the strings through your fingers just to start the process of trying to stretch them out. And then you add each string, bend it a little to, again, stretch the string out. And then you add the next one. And I started following this process far more, I say, ritualistically, which it became quite a nice process and something I look forward to. This is a time when I bond with the guitar, so to speak. I clean it. But also by doing that process, I found I wasn't having the problem of the guitar detuning as often because I was taking that extra care of the process. So sometimes the ritual can help you do things you might otherwise not want to do, but also to do them better.
When I found that with incorporating that sort of process into sharpening my kitchen knife now, where it's this whole, you know, you set up your station, you soak your block, and you get it all ready, and then you just spend 15, 20, 30 minutes just focusing on getting your knife super sharp. And it's really nice. And you can chop onions and it's wonderful again.
It's tomatoes. That's the vegetable that likes a sharp onion.
I mean, that is if your knife goes through a tomato quite nicely, it's like, yes, you have done the work.
And it's a very different thing to autopilot, because autopilot frees up your faculties for other things. Like the last thing you want to be doing is watching a TV show while cooking your dinner.
Yeah. It's like allowing yourself to focus on one particular thing at a time. Although autopiloting can be quite useful for certain things, for sure. The autopilot on a plane, really useful. But certain things you want to be paying attention to, and other things you may necessarily not need to pay attention to. I don't drive, but I hear a lot of people autopilot when they drive.
Which you shouldn't really do. Pay attention.
But it's like that thing, you are paying attention, but you're kind of just letting your experience and your muscle memory do a lot of the work for you, whilst your brain scans the road in front of you.
I think really what's happening, moreover, is that your brain doesn't need the memories. It's like, yes, we have a dozen of these driving home, same route, same path, same cars. All right, out you go. I don't need you. But this is kind of the reason we were talking about all this. What we ultimately wanted to say is that rituals serve a purpose, and by understanding which ones are important to ourselves, we can learn to refine them, we can learn to use them, and we can learn which ones need to be protected, so to speak, so that when things get difficult, rather than going, I'll stop making that morning coffee, I don't have time anymore, you'd be like, no, I'm going to get up 15 minutes earlier to make sure I have that time that I know I need.
Yeah, it's being able to give you that thing that gives you a little comfort, taking time to do the thing that gives you a little bit of comfort in a day.
Yeah.
It's important, and you deserve it. You deserve that time and space to feel a bit of comfort. You know, whether that's making a cup of coffee in the morning, or whether it's on your walk, you go in a particular way, or, you know, you
go say hi to those cows, you know.
You say hi to the cows, or you pass by a certain thing so you can look, see how the moss is coming along.
Yeah. And this is really important for anyone who is dealing with issues around like anxiety, depression, other issues that may be weighing on you. These are very healthy coping strategies. Well, they can be very healthy coping strategies, as long as they don't become problematic in themselves.
As long as they don't become problematic and crutches.
Yeah. Those little comforts can be absolute lifelines when everything else seems out of your control. It's like, at least this I can do. I may feel like I'm not doing well at work or at school. I may feel not good enough, but I can make a cup of coffee and I'm going to enjoy that cup of coffee. I'm good at this. And it's, in return, good to me.
Yeah. Like having something you have control over is very important. Just a little thing that you can control the output, the input, the output, and the result.
Yeah.
Does wonders. It really does. Even if it's just a little thing, it does wonders for you.
Yeah.
Yep. And if I can do this, I could probably do the next thing just fine.
Exactly.
If I can make this cup of coffee, I can certainly go on to make a space rocket. I have no education, but if I can do the coffee, and I've made it so strong, it's effectively rocket fuel.
And I just want to finish by saying we've given examples of the rituals that work for us. We didn't even mention some that we've written down, like brushing your teeth. For most people, that's probably the ritual you both begin and end your day with, whether you realize it or not. It can
very,
be
a very important opening and closing chapters of your day.
And it can actually be a very worthwhile thing that rather than just mindlessly scrolling your phone while you brush your teeth, every now and again, just do that. Only brush your teeth. Check in with yourself. See how it feels. But what we're really encouraging is that you do a little bit of stock taking in your own life and figure out which of these things is important to you. It might be something completely different from what we've been talking about, but you may realize, actually, this is something I am finding helpful to me and I would like to cultivate this. I would like to improve on it, or I just want to understand it and gain a little more comfort and pleasure from it.
Yeah.
All right. I hope you've enjoyed that episode. We've certainly enjoyed talking about it. If you enjoyed that, please consider subscribing to the podcast. We're on most podcast apps. You can find us anywhere that podcasts are served, Indulgently Minimal. We're on Instagram. We're on Mastodon. There are links in the show notes to all of our social media if you want to follow us and see when new episodes go up and anything that is on our minds at the time. If you want to go old school, you can send us an email. We are indulgentlyminimal@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. Any thoughts, comments, questions, or ideas for our future episodes, do let us know. We're on Ko-fi, and once again, thank you to everybody who is supporting us over there. It really does help us keep making the show. The link is in the show notes. It's ko-fi.com/indulgentlyminimal. Once again, thank you to everyone who is helping us make the show possible. I've been Moggy, and I have been joined today by Jeff.
Thanks, guys. Remember to take it easy on yourselves.
And Murdoch.
And remember, folks, indulge a little.
Thanks for joining us. See you for the next one. Bye.
See you later, guys.
Take care, everyone.